episode 332, dated Monday, March 25th, 2024.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everybody, and welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. My name is Bob Branco. Glad to be here today for episode 332, dated Monday, March 25th, 2024. Before we continue, and we have a very special guest with us this afternoon, but before we get to him and what we have to talk about, allow me to introduce everybody else that's with us today. We have Peter Alchil.
Good afternoon from Coos Bay, Oregon, where it is your typical rainy, gloomy, late March day. Not good baseball weather, but baseball always starts when it's snowing anyway, so it doesn't matter.
We're sunny and cold here in southern New England, so I don't know where all the warm weather is these days, but hopefully it'll come sooner rather than later. Reverend Michael Garrett.
Yes, greetings from a beautiful baseball-type weather day, 74 degrees in Missouri City, Texas.
All right. Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon from Pasadena, California. It's 64 and sunny here. Unfortunately, a storm is expected this weekend, and the Cardinals only come in here once, so I think a doubleheader is in the works Saturday or Sunday in Dodgerland.
And last but certainly not least, Don Wardlow.
Hi there from sunny and cold Jersey. Sounds like the Reverend and Mitch have all the good weather.
We'll get it eventually, Don. You know what they say about Murphy's Law or climate change. Anyway, we do have a special guest, and I will be very proud to introduce him momentarily as soon as I give out the thanks and all the credits. So thank you to Raymond Gay, our producer, for putting together a quality product. Also to Tom and Lynn from Rosie's Place, thank you for posting our shows on your chat line service. Our media outlets, thank you for airing us. We appreciate it. And Jacqueline Sylvia, our web designer from JS Web Solutions, thank you for archiving our shows on my website. Just go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down till you get to Sports Roundtable Podcasts. Click on those, and you will see most of our archives from latest to earliest.
Jackie, merci.
I also want to thank Stephen Bauer for being our host for today's program. Steve, thank you for taking the time to help us out. And also to Brad, who's mainstreaming us on ACB Media 5. And for that, we will give out my email address because a lot of people listen on that stream and they don't get my email address because they're not part of our mailing list. So for that, just write to us if you have any comments about the show. One way or the other, at bobbranco93@gmail.com. That's bobbranco93, bobbranco93@gmail.com. We have back with us, by popular demand, Alex Friedman of the Oklahoma City. What are they naming the team nowadays? They're no longer the Dodgers, Alex. What are they calling themselves?
Yeah. For this year and this year only, we're the Oklahoma City Baseball Club. It's a very unique situation, but we are still the Dodgers AAA affiliate, and we will have a permanent name that we'll announce following this season.
Well, reminds me of the Washington football team between the Redskins and the Commanders. Same idea.
Yes. And I've actually had communication with some folks with that organization to talk about these kind of things. So, in other words,
you and they have a lot in common with bridge years, with team names, so to speak.
I think they got a kick out of the fact that they weren't going to be like the only ones now. So, but they were very helpful folks. Big thanks to Sean and Charlie with the Washington Commanders for their advice and guidance and to prove and provide what they've learned through that transition period.
I know this isn't a football comment, but I hope that the broadcasters are better than the Commander football team.
Okay.
Well, I'm not familiar with the Washington Commanders broadcast, but
I should have said it differently. The folks who helped you out.
are better than the Washington Commander football team.
Now, Alex, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute. We're starting the baseball season. As we all know, you know, the season kicks off on Thursday. In a manner of speaking, it kicks off on Thursday. It technically kicked off in South Korea, but that'll be a subject for another time. As a Red Sox fan, I'm going to tell you what I've been hearing lately. I mean, no disrespect to the Dodgers when I'm saying this. We all know the stories that have broken out in L.A. But one of the things that I've been hearing as a Red Sox fan lately that I find rather intriguing is, see, good thing the Red Sox didn't sign Ohtani and Yamamoto like we wanted them to. What are your thoughts on that statement?
Absolutely false. Anyone who thinks that's a good thing is probably not very wise. You know, no one could have really foreseen the way things were unfolding, and there's still a lot to learn, you know, regarding Shohei's now former interpreter. But these are two, especially Ohtani, you know, he's an undeniable once-in-a-generation talent. You know, I'll give the Dodgers the benefit of the doubt about Yamamoto and giving him $300+ million. You know, those season debut did not go great, but of course he's acclimating to a lot of different things, not only in terms of the level of play and facing different competition, but a complete cultural change as well. And for those who don't remember, Shohei Ohtani really struggled in his first spring training in the U.S. And there's talks of him starting the year at AAA, and he turned out okay. So I'd like to think the same will be true for Yamamoto, but again, I think, of course, a lot of people do make of all the money the Dodgers have spent, but the ownership has shown that they're not afraid to spend money. And there are a lot of teams that around baseball that are hesitant to do that right now. And, you know, it's hard to win when you don't pay for good players, established good players.
Tell that to Greg Breslow.
And Bob, let me jump in. Alex, this is Mitch. I talked to you when you were here previously. I'm the fella who listens to you and to the Oklahoma City games when the Dodgers aren't playing. And welcome.
I would suggest,
to go back to Oklahoma City's name of a number of years ago. Go back to the 89ers. And if you have any influence.
Well, you're not the only one who feels that way, Mitch. You're certainly not the only one who feels that way. Of course, that was a team name from 1962 through 1997. And of course, for a lot of folks who were kids during that era, they're now adults. And, you know, it's still a very popular name. You know, we went from in the past few years having about two or three 89ers nights per year to now doing it every Thursday this year, kind of a throwback Thursday. So it certainly is some feedback that we have heard.
And in response, Bob, Ohtani is going to make a statement in about 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
From everything I have heard and read, it's really his interpreter. The only question that, and no one believes Ohtani was directly betting on baseball. Remember that betting on other sports other than baseball is legal.
Yeah,
is okay. Although here in California, betting is not sports betting. The unfortunately ignorant citizenry of this state last year voted down two proposals to legalize gambling, and it looks like it's because of the Nevada gaming people who are running the Indian gaming facilities here in California, and they didn't want it. But I suspect it'll pass. But I think Ohtani is going to be in the clear. The only question is, why did he allow his interpreter access to his bank account? That's really the only question that a lot of us have. And with regard to Yamamoto, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning listening to that game, and he couldn't find the strike zone with or without a GPS. And we're just hoping that he acclimates and gets his act together pretty quickly. He's already been dropped from
will.
He's been dropped, by the way, from the number two to the number three starter. Bobby Miller is going to be the starter on Friday and Yamamoto Saturday, weather permitting.
Well, I have faith in both pitchers. Of course, Ohtani, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think he can pitch this year anyway. Am I correct?
No.
He's only going to hit.
No,
Yamamoto's going to be, I think Yamamoto's going to be fine. I really do.
Yeah. No, we're hoping.
He wouldn't be the only pitcher to have a terrible, you know, first outing and then bounce back and do just fine. It's, you know, be easy to have happen to be, you know, to be caught up in the moment and just not be able to get it done.
That's true, Don, but he didn't look good outside of his first spring training game. So that's the problem. It wasn't just that game Thursday morning. I do want to ask Alex a quick question because the LA opens up in the afternoon on Thursday. Does Oklahoma City play Thursday night? And if they do, will they still be on 1340 the game so I can listen?
Our first game is Friday. We're starting on the road in Tacoma. So the schedule makers have always done us favors, and whenever we make our annual trip to Tacoma, it's like typically in July or August when the weather in Oklahoma City is brutal, and then you go up there and it's beautiful. But no, we're getting the late March weather up there, so I'm a little nervous in terms of the rain. And the only reason I use the term nervous is because, you know, we switched to a split season format last year in AAA. And those are the only games we played Tacoma in the entire first half of the year. So likely you can't just kind of make a quick call if the weather is going to be bad. They say, okay, we'll play the doubleheader when we come back. That's not happening. We don't even play them at home in the first half of the season. So we'll have to wait and see. We might be a lot of waiting at Cheney Stadium this weekend. Hopefully not, but we'll just have to wait and see. And to answer your other question, yes, we are still on 1340 a.m. the game. So best way to get our broadcast through either the iHeartRadio app or the MILB app.
I have SiriusXM and it works wonderfully.
Awesome.
Does SiriusXM carry minor league games, Mitch?
I'm sorry, Peter?
Does SiriusXM carry minor league games?
Yes. If you know what station, and all you do, I just ask the A Critter play SiriusXM 1340 the game.
Really?
Yes, sir.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Alex, surely you the guys have gone through workouts and getting ready through spring training. So how does Oklahoma City look? Are there any new prospects that the Dodgers can count on anytime in the near future?
I would say in terms of kind of the anticipated prospects that are going to be here, it's not quite the same as it was to open the year last year. Of course, the thing about AAA and their roster is it's entirely dependent on the big league team. So something else that the Dodgers did this year is they made a few trades that maybe didn't make a lot of headlines at the major league level, but it really kind of replenished some of the higher ceiling prospects, but at the lower levels of the minor league. So they're still a bit of ways away from contributing to Oklahoma City. But I think the talent the Dodgers continue to amass throughout the draft, international signings, trades, and the minor league free agents they play in, you know, we've been very fortunate that, you know, the previous eight seasons being affiliated with the Dodgers, seven of them have been winning seasons. There's only been one losing season in that time, which I think is rare in minor league baseball because, again, you have no control on who's going to be in your roster. And even last year, even though the team had the best regular season record in the league, won the league championship, there was still, I mean, just consistent roster movement all the time, especially on the pitching side. I know that's the trend across baseball, but it did seem even a bit extreme for that here in Oklahoma City. But guys, I'm looking forward to seeing this year. Probably the top of the list is Andy Páez, outfielder, 23 years old. Actually, last year got off to a great start at AA Tulsa. Joins us in mid-May and in his first AAA game, third at bat, tears the labrum in his left shoulder on a swing. So he was done for the rest of the year. But he had a good spring training. Reports are shoulder's healthy. He's good to go. So looking forward to see a fuller version of Andy Páez this year. And in terms of the pitching side, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of guys, you know, continue to revolve between Oklahoma City and the big league team, Landon Knack being one of those. And he was a starter last year, did have an injury that caused him to miss the last month of the season, but just seeing pictures and video of him, really slimmed down. Looks like he's a lot better shape. So former second round pick of the Dodgers, spent some time with us last year. So Landon, as of now, has been auctioned in Oklahoma City and will be with us to start the year. And another guy I'm really looking forward to who is under the radar, relief pitcher who spent some time with us last year, named Ricky Benasco. Dodgers got him in a minor deal with the Rangers in the middle of last year, just to never quite put it together with Texas. Dodgers get him. They really kind of shift him from a starter to a reliever and become lights out. And they actually signed him, re-signed him to a major league deal this past offseason, even though he has yet to appear in the major leagues. So I think Ricky, we saw him, like I said, he looked great. And his time with us last year was huge in the playoffs. And it gets added to the 40-man roster, you know, signing a big league deal. So I think it's a matter of time, as long as he stays healthy, knock on wood, with all these guys, that he'll be up at some point in the big league bullpen.
Did you get to go to Arizona to watch these guys and maybe do what we used to call basement network broadcasts, which are non-air broadcasts, but they're closed circuit practice broadcasts? You could get your hand in, if you will, and get a look at these guys for the first time.
You know, a lot of these guys I already know because they've been here, or they're minor league free agents who have seen play with other organizations. I did not go to spring training this year. Honestly, haven't been in a few years. Reason didn't go this year, a couple different things. One of which is our coaching staff is the exact same. And those are the guys that I work with more closely. Of course, you know, I have interactions with the players every day, but really a closer working relationship with the coaches. They're all coming back. So there was no one new to meet on that side. And just calendar wise, with the Cactus League play ending earlier for the Dodgers because of those games in Korea, and just my personal schedule, it didn't work out. And I do college basketball, freelance work, broadcasting wise in the off season. So that kind of keeps me, I guess, a little bit sharp, but don't necessarily need to go do those basement broadcasts, as you said, out at spring training.
One pitcher.
Michael, as a follow up to Michael's question, there are 9 40-man roster guys. I checked the Oklahoma City roster about 2 hours ago, and there are 9 guys on the 40-man roster, at least, that are currently rostered with Oklahoma City, and some of those may end up getting sent to AA because the Dodgers, Oklahoma City's carrying like 18 pitchers right now, which they won't. But another guy to look out for, he pitched in Korea but got sent down, is J.P. Ferreisen, although he got knocked around in one of those Korean games. But the Dodgers wanted him very badly, and he may have a shot not too far down the road to be back up with the Dodgers.
Yeah, and he's been in the big leagues before with the Brewers at Rays, and they got him to trade with the Rays after he underwent shoulder surgery. And when they got him, they knew he was going to be out all of last year. So it was a pretty extensive shoulder surgery to repair his labrum and rotator cuff. So with that being said, I'm not surprised he's struggled a little bit, but this is a guy who, when he was, you know, last healthy in 2022 with the Tampa Bay Rays, I actually was just editing his page in the media guide. This is a guy who in 24 1/3 innings allowed 1 unearned run and 7 hits when he was last fully healthy, you know, in the big leagues for Tampa Bay. So again, yeah, it's going to probably be a little bit for him to get back to that form. But like you said, I think he certainly has the ability to be a contributor at the major league level.
Alex, one pitcher I think the Dodgers are going to be sorry they let go. And again, I speak as a Red Sox fan. This gentleman had a very impressive spring. In fact, I think his first 7 relief appearances, he was scoreless. And I'm talking about Justin Hagenman. I think the Dodgers are going to be sorry they let him go.
Talk about a guy that I love and will root for. He had just been Mr. Everything, especially this past year for Oklahoma City. You know, front end of the bullpen, multiple innings, back end of the bullpen. And then it got to the point where we need another starting pitcher. Guy hadn't regularly started games since college. He does that. Is our, one of our pitching coaches, Justin Afraitis, said he's just a pitch maker. That's what he does. He just makes pitches. He's not going to wow anybody with his stuff. You know, this guy was a 4-year player at Penn State, you know, low draft pick, but a guy who, again, will just go out there, not show any fear, pound the zone. And, you know, when guys get traded, it usually does come with bittersweet feelings because you're sad to see a guy, a person who's not only a good player, but a great person leave, but you know, it could lead to a better opportunity for him. And that was great to see him be in that Kike Hernandez deal last year. So, you know, yeah, we're not just me, but anyone who I think has been a teammate or a coach of Justin Hageman is rooting for him, and hopefully we'll see him get to the big leagues with the Red Sox this year.
We're very impressed with him.
Alex, I want to sort of continue a conversation that Bob had on the an email, when he sent out an email complaining that Sports Talk Radio was focusing almost exclusively on football, even though the baseball season was ready to start. And not only just football, but sort of sleazy parts of football. And asked a really good question, Bob, if I have you correct, is, you know, why? Why are people talking about football this time of year when the baseball season is going to be starting? Never mind the fact that there's the NCAA and all the other basketball playoffs and all that kind of stuff. So I guess my question to you, Alex, is, you know, why is that happening and what might be get done so that baseball gets more prominence on the air? You know, it's sort of, you know, nobody would know listening to Sports Talk Radio that baseball is starting this week. It's hardly talked about at all.
Well, first, I don't listen to Sports Talk Radio for many reasons.
I don't blame you,
but I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
I think it's no secret that football is king. Yeah. The NFL is king, but it really bothers me when people kind of use that to show that as evidence as baseball's demise. It is clearly still the number two sports league, pro sports league among the major four, head and shoulders above the NBA and NHL. The ratings will show that, you know, the MLB's highest rated games, the only things they end up trailing by at the end of the year are NFL games. So again, I just don't like how people, you know, kind of use these numbers that the NFL is pulling in to show that baseball, again, is in a weak spot when it's clearly not. It's still in a very healthy spot. But to help address that, I think you are seeing Major League Baseball do certain things and different things. We had the games in Korea to start the season early. We had the World Baseball Classic last year. And I would say a lot of people, that pulled in a lot of people who would not have been watching baseball at that time. The games that are coming up in London later this year. So, which I know they have done before, and the game that will be played in Rookwood Field in Birmingham. So I think baseball is trying to do some things that is going to help that reach and hopefully continue the conversation. Will it catch football ever? Probably not. I think we live in a football first world, and here in Oklahoma City, look, you know, the University of Oklahoma football team, I'm sure they're talking about that right now more than they are about baseball in general, even though folks who here tend to, you know, their Major League Alliance, closest Major League team, the defending World Series champs, Texas Rangers. There's also a lot of Cardinals fans, a lot of Cubs fans, of course, wherever you go like that, and a huge interest in the Dodgers too. But I think it's just kind of the reality of the situation that we live in. And in the shorter kind of amount of attention spans people have with the NFL, look, it's 17 games once a week. And I mean, credit to the NFL for kind of making it a year round thing. You know, I know there was free agency rather recently opened up, and a whole sidebar tangent conversation we can have is Major League Baseball hopefully making some changes to the free agent process so it is not so slow like it has been, so there is that excitement on the first day of free agency like there is in the NFL and the NBA. I think that would be a huge step forward. Now, I don't have the solution for it. I'm by no means an expert in that area, but I think if they can address that, that would be big, you know, to happen in the fall or December. And you have the draft as well for the NFL that's coming up. In Major League Baseball, they've made some adjustments to the draft. They've made it later in the year. They've tied into the All-Star Week when there's less stuff going on in general, so it can get more attention. So I think they're cognizant of that. Hopefully, you know, some strides are made. But like you said, if Patrick Mahomes sneezes, it's probably going to be, you know, it's probably going to be news before
front page some of the news.
Bigger things. Yeah. Some of the bigger things that happen in baseball, but that's just kind of the reality of the situation.
In response to your comments about how to redirect free agency in baseball, a lot of that I think has to do with the agents. You look at this offseason. You've got guys out there, Jordan Montgomery, for example, and even guys that have been recently signed to contracts that you didn't expect them to be signed. Cody Bellinger, Matt Chapman, Blake Snell. They wanted a lot more money, but I think the agents want too much money from the owners, and eventually there has to be a compromise. This is why there's such a delay.
Look, we're not in those negotiating rooms and part of those calls, but you know, of course, the truth is going to lie somewhere in between, right? Between what the teams are saying and what the agents are saying. And the fact we're sitting here on March 25th and Jordan Montgomery is not signed, it's hard to believe. Same for a lot of other guys that are proven major leaguers who might not be stars, but they're going to help you win. Like a Tommy Pham, too. And, you know, we didn't see the guys you mentioned, Snell, Chapman, Bellinger, signed till well into spring training. And of course the common thread is they're represented by Scott Boras, and you know, that might have something to do with it. But I think it's a combination. Of course, you're going to just hear from the player side that, oh, the team didn't want to hand out X amount of dollars or X amount of years, but you know, there's probably some stubbornness on the other side as well to try and get the terms they want. So yeah, it's going to have to be a collective effort. You know, I think you can't just say, well, it's a team problem. It's an agent problem. They have to come together for, I think, the greater good of the sport to figure this thing out.
I think I may have missed somebody. JD Martinez, did he sign?
He recently signed a few days ago with the Mets. He did.
With the Mets. And you mentioned Tommy Pham. We used to have Tommy Pham. I like Tommy Pham too.
Guy's been a winner everywhere he goes, and I know he's gotten some flack maybe, but you know, what drives me crazy about people is they say, you know, we wish athletes didn't speak in cliches and spoke more kind of from the heart and with their emotions on the sleeve, and he does. And when he does, he gets criticized for it. It's like, just, you know, you got to pick a side there. But that's the guy that, you know, like I said, he's going to make your team. He's going to help your team. Is he going to be an all-star at this point of his career? No, probably not. But he's going to help your team.
And my final question for now is, why is it that Major League Baseball seems to want to attract fans globally? It's not like the league is going to expand overseas or anything like that. I think a lot of the problems that are happening right here in this country with all the rule changes, with all the science in the game. A lot of fans I know are getting discouraged with the sport because of the science in the game. Too many injuries in baseball. We think it's because of analytics that front offices want the pitchers to throw out of character, which hurts their elbows. I think baseball's a mess right now in that regard.
Well, in terms of the global audience, I think it's probably the answer that can be the answer to a lot of questions. Money is money, whether it's coming from the U.S. or coming from abroad. I think that has a lot to do with it. And, you know, when it comes to not only in terms of, you know, those events, of course, the ticket sales are a very small part of it. I think it's more of a big play to get potential global distribution. And hey, you can buy merchandise from anywhere in the world with the internet. So I think that's certainly part of it. But, you know, you expose the game to other areas. It also attracts interest from the lower levels and the grassroots levels. And now athletes who, in a lot of European countries, let's just take for instance, you know, would only want to play soccer. Hey, maybe they are interested in playing baseball now. You know, there was a documentary I remember on Netflix a few years ago that talked about the impact of Vince Carter playing for the Toronto Raptors and how we have a lot of great Canadian basketball players that are in the NBA, which wasn't the case before. So I think, you know, that's another benefit of when you are trying to expand the game globally. And it helps when your best player's from a foreign country as well. And he can reach, you know, literally millions and millions, if not billions of people on the other side of the world.
Bob, there was an article, a brief one that I read this morning. It isn't confirmed yet, but the Dodgers and Cubs may be opening next season in Tokyo.
I believe it.
So, you know, and we are seeing more international players, certainly more Japanese players. We're seeing Korean players. So I think that there is some expectation, if not global expansion, and I wouldn't necessarily think that's a good idea, but I think you're seeing more and more players. We've got several players from the Caribbean. I was thinking about Aruba and some of those other places where baseball is very important. So, you know, I don't have a problem with it, although I think it's difficult for teams that have to open up their seasons like the Dodgers and Padres did a week early. Thankfully, no one, at least from the Dodgers standpoint, I haven't heard about the Padres, but no one came back with an injury or anything of that nature. But I think it's going to happen more and more. You're going to see every year teams are going to open up somewhere other than the United States.
If anybody wants to talk to Alex Friedman or the rest of us, it's time for participation by our listeners. Steve, you can let me know or let us know if there are any hands raised, and we'll take the questions on.
And okay. Just for the record, this is Sports Roundtable.
Yes, it is.
And Steve, go ahead.
Yes, our first hand is Jane T.
Jane T, you have a question for Alex Friedman of the Oklahoma City baseball team. Jane, you might be muted.
There, sorry.
There she is.
I have a question about naming. I've always liked to know, where does the name come from? Who gets it? Who picks it? Do you allow people to send in their favorite state flower and say, name the team after that? Or how do you do that? I'm so interested. Will you tell us about the predicament that the Oklahoma City team is in, name-wise? And I'd like to hear that. So thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane. That's a good question. I think branding, not only whether it's a sports team or any business, you know, it's an extensive process. And we also have to work with a lot of the deadlines set by Major League Baseball in terms of getting certain things in, you know, for their uniform distributors, hat manufacturers, things like that. So it's a long lead time. And for us, we're not doing a public name the team contest, but throughout this process, you know, we have brought in some influential stakeholders, civic and community leaders, just to talk things over to kind of, well, what do you think about Oklahoma City and baseball? What kind of things come to mind? What kind of things would you like to see come from, you know, this team? Because it is the only real local pro sports team that we have here. Of course, I mean, besides the Thunder, of course, but, you know, in terms of baseball, you know, and when you have the everyday nature of it. So again, getting feedback from the community and certain leaders. And, you know, of course we look at what's being said on social media too. Of course, it's not going to necessarily influence our decision, but it is always good feedback to have. You know, certain season ticket holders are never too shy to share their feelings as well. So we kind of take all that into account and again, just get together internally and start to brainstorm. And then you have several discussions, which lead to potential several different designs and working with a branding agency to help come up with a lot of that and tell the story. So it's a very exhaustive process and we're still right in the middle of it. And, you know, there's still a lot to get done before we do that launch, you know, after our season is completed this coming year. So yeah, it is not something where you just snap your fingers and have a new name and you don't realize how many places your team name is around your ballpark and everything until you go through a branding change and how much has to be done to switch over. And like you said, the predicament or the unique situation we're in, essentially doing it twice in 2 years, which is not ideal, but it's the reality of the situation that we're in, and we're going to make the best of it.
Thank you for that. If I were going to name your team today, I'd call you the Oklahoma Storm, but I don't get to choose. Thank you for helping me understand better.
Thank you, Jane.
Yeah. Thank you, Jane.
I like the 89ers idea. Yeah, go back to the original name. It's a cool name. Again, I have nothing to say about it either, but I like that name.
Next up, we have Rich Vonderhard.
Rich, welcome.
I'm enjoying your show. I just have a question, kind of an odd question, but since you guys seem to know your baseball, I'll throw it out to the panel. You know, we're watching the NCAA March Madness, all these games and very physical, competitive games. And I'm a lifelong baseball fan. I'm a Reds fan. Have been all my life. But anyway, do you guys, and I mean, we've been basketball game, guys getting knocked down and going for rebounds under the basket and all the, you know, whatever. Do you guys have any inclination why baseball players are so physically fragile these days? I mean, there's a collision at first base. A guy, the first baseman takes the throw, he'll run to the runner and you, the announcer, say, oh, he fell down. You know, we're really worried about him. And how many times does a basketball player get knocked down in the course of a game? They don't worry about him. They just keep on playing. I've heard it's because they do a lot more weightlifting and a lot less running and throwing and stuff like that. But I just wonder, do you guys have any idea why? I understand why the pitchers, you know, with the Tommy John surgery, because they're trying to throw the ball as hard as they can. But you see a lot of silly injuries. Guys get hurt swinging the bat. Guys get hurt running the bases where there's no contact. And I'm just curious if you guys had any thought as to what's going on.
I love your question.
Yeah, I'm no doctor, unfortunately. And, you know, I don't know. I think if we knew the answer to that question, we wouldn't maybe see as many injuries. I think I can say this, though. I think the attentiveness paid to player health from a management side is exponentially larger than it used to be. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more conservative approaches, maybe overcautious approaches, mm-hmm. that, this guy maybe tweaked a little something. He's not in 100%. Whereas in the past, there was usually the response to that was, okay, we'll play through it. We don't really have that anymore. There really is no much playing through, especially at the minor league level. If there's a guy who has a little something, they don't want to risk it. They don't want to risk maybe a potential bigger injury or long-term health concerns. So, you know, I think in terms of other stuff that happens on the field, players are bigger, faster, stronger than they ever have been. And if you're going to collide with each other, you know, at full speed, someone's probably going to get hurt in some way, shape, or form. So those are the best answers that I can give you.
There's no protection. They're not equipped like a football player, but that brings up another point though, Alex. What happens in the life of a baseball player after the season's over? You know, some guys continue and they play ball all year round. They go to the winter leagues. They go down to the Caribbean and go to the other places where the weather's warm and they continue to play ball. I mean, is there potential for fatigue, or, you know, you just wear your body down? Or some guys who do take off, do they train, you know, weight, lift weights, you know, stay in shape, that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, you used to hear about spring training existing so players could get in shape. And now, again, yeah, they all follow pretty strict training regimens that start maybe a week or two after their playing season is over. In terms of the guys that go play winter ball, a lot of time it's going to be a player who missed a lot of time during the regular season so they can get some more at bats, they can get some more innings, or if they're a free agent to kind of basically serve as a showcase and hopefully sign with the club for the next coming season. And players who also play winter ball, a lot of them aren't playing every day. You even hear guys of U.S. players who go down there signing contracts for not the full season, just for the first half or whatnot it may be. So, yeah, I think it depends on the player, but yes. Yeah, everybody, it is a full-time job, even in the offseason, in terms of the health, you know, the ways that they take care of their bodies, nutrition, all that stuff, even if it is November and December. And for pitchers, you know, you'll start your throwing progression at a certain time. Hitters, you know, will take a little bit off maybe from hitting, not as much as the pitchers will from throwing. But again, yeah, it is a full-time year-round job.
And along the lines of protecting players, you know, a few years ago, blocking the plate became outlawed, and now you can't block a base. And they're going to be calling a lot of obstruction. So, you know, along the lines of how baseball owners and management have said, you know, we've got to protect the players at all costs. You know, some of the baseball that we saw even 10 years ago is no more. You aren't going to see a catcher put his body and certainly his foot out to stop a player from sliding into a home base. And now you can't obstruct any base. So, you know, again, it's another step toward protecting those fragile players.
Yeah, I think the jury's out on the new obstruction rules. And of course, I want to see it in place. You know, it's like home plate that look, if the throw takes you into going in front of the base, then it's allowed, but you can't just deliberately set up there. So yeah, we'll see how big of an impact it ends up having, whether it is a good or not so good thing.
And they've also widened the area that a base runner can run, if I remember correctly. They've widened it. I forget whether it's from 3 to 5 feet, but I know they've done that as well to protect the player from a throw, from getting hit, theoretically at least, while running certainly to first base.
Yeah, the running lane, that I don't know if that's as much about avoiding getting hit, because now technically in theory you can be hit in a wider area. That's why they had it limited to a smaller area. But unless there's a deliberate attempt to interfere with the throw, which, I mean, with your back to the play, it's kind of very hard to do. Yeah. I think it was more just the fact that, you know, you were, especially the right-handed hitters, you were not allowing them a direct line to the base, you know, having to be in that runner's lane for the final 45 feet by the letter of the law and the rule book. But yeah, now you do have a feet, you know, inside the foul line as well, some wiggle room there. So again, it's going to have to be pretty blatant to get in the way of a throw to now be called out for runner's lane interference when going down to first base.
Gotcha.
Any other hands raised?
Not right now.
Thank you, Rich. Well, let us know, Steve, if there are. We'll continue with our conversation.
So I'm wondering, we have this conversation about injuries in baseball, and we have sort of two different strands. One is the, you know, injuries, wear and tear, pitchers blowing out their arms and that kind of stuff. It seems to be more of a deal than it was, you know, say 20 years ago. And then you have the other issue about when people get knocked out of baseball, it seems to be a big deal. And I wonder how much of that is perception, that baseball is never viewed as a, you know, body on body violent sport. You know, occasionally you'll get a pitcher throwing at somebody, you know, which is not encouraged either, of course, but it was that's more in the game. I wonder about how much of this is perception, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, in basketball, people are expected to knock people down once in a while. That's part of the way the game is played within limits. And of course, football is a very violent sport. I'm just wondering how much of this is sort of a perceptual matter than what actually is going on.
Yeah, it's a high level question, and I'm not sure if I can fully answer it, but yeah, you're not put in a place, you know, like those other sports where it's going to be body on body for a lot of the time. And it's kind of the rare instance where it is, whether it's on a slide. And you did mention, you know, the, you know, throwing or getting hit with a pitch. And I think there is still, you know, there is still a sense of, you know, if one of your guys gets hurt, you know, you're not going to throw it maybe some guy's head and try and cause any significant injury, but you got to let the other team know that, you know, when you got your teammates back, So maybe just making them a little uncomfortable to play. And I think that will, there's always going to be, I think, a little space for that in the game. But again, as long as it's not malicious and over the top and, you know, hey, you go back to the days of Nolan Ryan, if you hit a home run off him, you knew the next time you were coming up, you likely get a fastball in the ribs. That doesn't exist anymore.
And that, what your comment reminds me of is, you know, the fights, baseball fights, when the bullpen's clear and everybody runs on the field. And it's sort of viewed as a joke. You know, you hear that the play-by-play guys talk about it. Whereas, you know, when it happens in football or basketball, football especially, it can get pretty dicey pretty quickly. But baseball's sort of viewed as sort of a sort of slapstick entertainment sometimes, at least if you listen to the play-by-play of what's going on.
Alex, the two guys that preceded Nolan Ryan, who you always had to be careful about, and I don't know whether you were following baseball back in the 60s and 70s, but Bob Gibson and Don Drysdale.
Yeah.
You knew if you hit a home run that your next at bat, you'd better be prepared to move out of the way real quick.
Well, I was far even from a twinkle in my parents' eye during the 60s. Yeah,
that's
and 70s.
What I kind of thought.
I was born in the mid-1980s.
Yeah.
But of course, yeah, you know, to study up on the history and all that.
Nolan Ryan was a lightweight compared to Gibson and Drysdale.
Yeah.
That's probably true. That's probably true. So season starts in what, Thursday, I guess it is. By the way, I am sort of astounded that they, SiriusXM has their first game broadcast, Texas against somebody, the Cubs, I think it is, right against the Sweet 16 coverage on the men's college basketball tournament. You know, the timing strikes me as being not ideal, but what do I know? But, Bob put out some picks that he thought, you know, would make the playoffs. And I'm wondering what other people think, who in the major leagues are likely to make the playoffs and maybe win the World Series. I'll add one more thing. Bob picked the Yankees to make the wild card. And that sort of surprised me, Bob. Alex, I'm curious to know what you think. Only because the Yankees are so, their pitching seems to be shady again, and their hitting seems to be a bit shady as well. I'm wondering, every year Tampa Bay is always seems to be, you know, downplay. They always seem to make the playoffs. So I won't say more than that.
Well, I'm not typically in the prediction business because, quite honestly, so much of my attention is paid within the Dodgers world. So if there's a team, you know, teams in, say, the AL East, you know, I don't know as much about them as I will about those in the NL West. Of course, everyone does play each other now across the American League and National League. But, you know, I think they're, at least in the National League, you know, you have a few pretty top no-brainers, you know, between the Dodgers, the Braves, the Phillies. The, you know, Central, I think, is wide open, probably wide open in both leagues. The
I think the Reds.
AL Central. Reds, and I, you know, to an extent, part of me does understand why the Brewers traded Corbin Burns, but the division, it was right there for the take, and they still might win it without him. You know, the Cubs, they've made some improvements too, so, you know, I think those are wide open. You know, we'll see if the Diamondbacks can run it back like they did this past year. And, you know, over in the American League, can Baltimore, you know, do the same with their young core? And of course, now they do have the aforementioned Corbin Burns, which will only help them. And, you know, the AL West, I think is, you know, going to produce a lot of quite a few good teams between, you know, the Astros, the Rangers again, you know, the Mariners, they've been kind of straddling that in and out of the playoffs line the last couple of years. So I think those three teams obviously are all going to be pretty good on paper. So we'll see. I mean, it's, you know, what team's going to surprise this year? I'm not entirely sure, but you did mention the Reds. I think again, that's a team with an exciting young core
for the American League. You know, for the American League, I picked as division winners the Orioles, the Twins, and the Astros. And for the Wild Cards, I picked the Rangers, Yankees, and Mariners. And then the National League.
I think it's good as group as any. The only other team that I think you can really lump in there to contend is Toronto.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
I picked in the National League the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Reds for the division winners, and the Diamondbacks, Padres, and Phillies for the wild cards.
Forget the Padres, Bob. I'd go with the Phillies over the Padres. I don't know what order
in the wild cards. I didn't rank them. Yeah. I just picked them.
Yeah, so, I don't think the Padres are going to be that good.
They've been tough to figure out. You know, you trade Juan Soto, but then, you know, just a couple weeks ago, they go out and get Dylan Cease. So, you know, it's a little bit of a head scratcher what the Padres are doing.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, as a Mets fan, so I'm talking more from the heart than the head on this one. You know, 2 years ago, the Mets were terrific. You know, I mean, they fell apart in the playoffs, of course. But last year, of course, they totally fell apart. I can't imagine they will be as terrible last year as this year as they were last year. You know, they were pathetic last year. I hope that maybe they can sneak maybe into a wild card. Maybe I'm just too optimistic as a Mets fan, but it doesn't seem completely impossible.
Okay. Alex, we have about another 5 minutes. Go ahead, Mitch.
Oh, I was going to say, unless there's another raised hand, I want to ask you about a guy who isn't on the 40-man roster, but the Dodgers seem to think really highly of him, and he'll be with Oklahoma City this year. Got him from the Padres, River Ryan, who came over as, I think, an infielder as well as a pitcher, but now he's just pitching. What do you know about River Ryan?
Yeah, he did have made a couple starts with us at the end of last year. And yeah, that you alluded to the backstory, gets drafted basically as a two-way player out of a fifth-year senior at a Division II school in North Carolina, which typically is not the profile of someone you expect to be drafted, really. And again, he did both for the Padres that summer after he got drafted. Dodgers get him at a very minor deal shortly before the 2022 season starts after they had DFA'd utility player Matt Beatty. So they get him from the Padres and then say, we're just going to have you be a pitcher, and kind of start to make strides as a pitcher. And then last year, mostly at AA, but spent some time with us. The reason he is not on a roster currently is they're just going to hold him back for a little bit in terms of just innings restrictions. So they keep him out in Arizona. It's very similar to what they did with Bobby Miller last year. I'm not going to say that he's going to have the impact that Bobby ended up having at the big league level last year, but it was more just kind of a guy who, again, went from occasionally pitching to now more regularly pitching. And I think just as a way to kind of save his bullets for later in the season, as they like to say, keeping him back in Arizona for a little bit. So I would imagine within a few weeks, you know, we'll see him back here in Oklahoma City. But yeah, the thing about River is, you know, it's untapped potential. And, you know, he's a guy who, again, is still learning to be a pitcher, just a pitcher. You've got the fluid athletic movements, you know, fastball can get up there. You know, like I said, we only saw him twice last year, kind of mixed results, but you know, for a guy basically in a second year pro ball who would not pitch that much to get all the way to AAA is a pretty good accomplishment.
Yep. And I have one more final question about the parent club. What do you think of the concept of Mookie playing short?
I think if you gave the front office some truth serum, it would not be their top choice. But, you know, he certainly seems to be all in on it. I'm always confused by defensive metrics because it just doesn't seem like there's a clear-cut formula behind them. Like you'll see guys who I think when you look at your eyes, they're pretty good defenders, but then they grade out poorly. But I guess that's a conversation for another time. It's a long-winded way of me of saying he's going to be fine. He's going to make the plays he's supposed to make out there. Is he going to be considered to be an absolute magician out there? Probably not, although it wouldn't be surprise anybody if he did. But of course, that's, you know, it's a bit of a demanding position too. And I know the reason why he wanted to move to the infield to begin with was just feeling more involved as well as a little bit easier on your legs, but in the shortstop, you know, you're that quarterback, so to speak.
Yes.
And of course it's a role he can definitely handle.
Of course. Unfortunately, we are out of time, Alex. I'm sorry. It's been a fast hour. We really appreciate you coming back and talking with us here on Sports Roundtable. Best of luck to Oklahoma City. Maybe next year you'll have another name. Hopefully the 89ers. We'll see what happens. Good luck to the Dodgers. They're a wonderful team. We'll see how far they go this year as well. And thanks, Alex. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Alex.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate you having me on.
And thanks to everybody else. Alex. You take care and God bless you all. See you next week on Sports Roundtable. Bye for now.